this Sunday, we continue to think about the difference between the physical and the spiritual, as the Word of God is made manifest among us. We're invited to see this new perspective that God would bring, that challenges our old patterns and ways of being and relating in the world. Last week we saw this challenge to the stuff that the world would give us that was quote-unquote good from the world's perspective. The rejection of a vying for status, for wealth, for power, and to recognize instead that we are blessed in our poverty, blessed when we have nothing. This week, we see the other side of that coin and think about how we are to respond when the world treats us poorly. And of course, we know the way the world would invite us to respond when things don't go our way, that we are to push back against it. And perhaps Joseph's brothers are a classic example of how the world, and our physical selves, if you will, would invite us to respond to challenge. That they have a younger brother who quite simply gets on their nerves, whose very presence reminds them of their inferiority. That Joseph has dreams of them bowing down to him. They know that he is their father's favorite. And so they don't really like it when Joseph's around. And finally they get fed up. So they decide to first murder him, be done with him altogether, and then decide instead to sell him into slavery. Both of these are ways of getting rid of their problem, or the one that they perceive as their problem. And we know, unfortunately, this can be our temptation as well, those people that we just do not mesh with, those people that get under our skin, who point out to us our own flaws, who every time we are around them, we feel inferior, or they're just grating to us. We, too, want to figure out a way to get them out of our lives. And oftentimes, it's not too hard to do unless they're family, as Joseph's brothers discover. And then they're usually still around us somehow. And often it's our family members, too, that can make us feel the worst at times. So we have this challenge that is around us that we often want to deal with through cutoff. That's the societally accepted form of getting rid of people in your life, is to just not talk to them anymore. Cut them out some way or another and go your own way. Of course, murder and slavery are a form of cutoff, but those are ones we avoid much more strongly now than Joseph's brothers did. And yet we have Jesus today telling us to behave in ways that make absolutely no sense, to not go with the cutoff route, but instead stay with people not only who drive you nuts and who get under your skin, but who outright harm you. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. If someone were to strike you on the cheek, turn the other one. If somebody were to take away your stuff, give them more. Don't ask for it back. You say, this makes no sense to us, Jesus. If somebody strikes us on the cheek, our gut reaction is probably to strike them right back. Our better selves might try to extricate ourselves from that situation, try to get away from the people who are doing the harm. But here Jesus is telling us quite simply, stay in it. Give them the other cheek. We know if this is flipped around that we wouldn't expect these things. If we slap somebody, we would not expect them to turn the other cheek and invite us to slap them back. If we gave a loan to somebody, we would expect it to be repaid. And if we received a loan, we would certainly expect to pay it back. These are the ways it works. And that we know that if we behave in ways to antagonize others, we kind of expect them to be upset with us or to live antagonistically towards us as well. And indeed, this is probably what Joseph's brothers, again, our example of living as the world would invite us to, see doing in their interaction with Joseph. They know they have done wrong. They know they sold their brother into slavery. And now Joseph has the power and authority to do with them whatever he wishes. And they know exactly what they would do if the roles were reversed. If they were Joseph and now have the opportunity to hold themselves accountable, they would do it. Because that's what you do. You exact justice. So they are dismayed at justice. Yet all of this shows us, at the end of the day, why I think God invites us to live differently than this. To respond in time to the people who would harm us or do damage in this world just puts more harm and damage into the world. To hate those who hate us just adds to the hate. To do evil to those who do evil just adds to evil. If we're ever to stop this, there must be some point at which goodness and love and mercy are injected into the system, lest we would just destroy ourselves without any motion of forgiveness. There is no hope for life. Because we have all found ourselves doing wrong and being wrong. And Paul points this out, I think. Says, yes, this is the physical. These ways of living are not very helpful, but they are the ones that we can recognize right now. They are the ones that come to mind and are easy for us to identify. And he says to us quite clearly that the only way to get away from that is to die. And unless the seed would go and be buried into the earth and give itself all the way over to death, it remains but the seed. If we are to sprout and to grow into the people whom God has called us to be, we must die. And this is what we hear about in our baptism as well, that we must die in these waters as we are raised to the new life in Christ. That we are like seeds who have now been planted, and we have been watered in our baptisms, and we are beginning to sprout. So we're not still exactly what we were before, but we're also not the finished product yet. We're still growing. Still learning how to live and act as God would invite us to live and to act. And so it is still difficult for us to hear these words of Christ that tell us to behave in very different ways that make sense to us, in ways that we are certain would make us weak and vulnerable. And yet we are invited to recognize that this is how the Word of God is made manifest among us, in exactly these ways. Jesus lived among enemies, among those who do not like him or like what he has to say about God. Jesus, in a faithless and perverse generation, is consistently being slapped in the face by the people and the actions and the thought processes around him. And yet he continues to turn the other cheek, to draw near to us, to do good to those who had harmed him. And he does this freely. Whatever people demand, we see Jesus doing. Heal me. Cure my blindness. Share with us this word of God. Give us further instruction. Explain to us these parables. All of these things. Jesus does not ask for payment. Does not ask for anything to be given to him, but is pouring himself out as he offers healing, restoration, miracle upon miracle. He is living the words that he is sharing with us today. And he is telling us that this is how the power of God would be made manifest among us. This is not weakness, brothers and sisters. This is how God chooses to act when God takes on flesh. And we who are in flesh are invited to act in these same ways. We may say, well, that's all well and good for the Son of God to do. But this is impossible for us to do in such a broken world in which we find ourselves. We could never live as Jesus lived. We'll have to wait until that time when we are drawn home to heaven to enter into that spiritual reality, and that is when we'll finally be able to live as we should. And then everybody else is also as they should be. Then we can all live in harmony the way that God would invite us to do here. But I'll invite you to consider, dear brothers and sisters, that if this is our path, we say we cannot do it until this other moment, well then, what good are we, how much better are we than anybody else in this earth who only loves those who love them and do good to others as others will do good to them? We wouldn't have changed at all. We'd have had no practice to love as God truly loves. is gone who is gracious and merciful both to those who behave well and to the wicked, as we hear today. God will love us just as we are, even before we have been able to mend our ways, because God wants to plant us and nourish us and water us and feed us in ways that we might grow into the plant God always knew us to be. And Joseph models for us that this is possible. Today, Joseph has a very spiritual approach to his brothers, offers them amazing grace and forgiveness, draws near to them. It's very clear that he knows what they did. Yes, you sold me here, but it wasn't you. It was God who sent me here to preserve life. In fact, God sent me here to preserve your lives and save for you a remnant. And yes, I want you to be near to me. Come, get my father, all of you bring your families, bring your children, and I, personally, will provide for each and every one of you. How gracious of a response that Joseph can make here to those who would have demanded his death, to those who sold him into slavery. The spiritual comes crashing into his present moment here. This is not the physical way of relating in the world. Yet we know still that this is hard for us to put into practice. And we know it could be hard for Joseph. We don't know what his response would have been a few years earlier, or even the next day. But in this moment, the spiritual is able to peek through into his life at this moment and extend the kind of love and forgiveness that God would invite all of us to share with each other. And we can sort of take stock of how much this is taking root in our own lives, to think about those who have wronged us, to think about our quote-unquote enemies, to think about those people in the world that we know are just outright nasty, and to think if we were given power and authority to make them do whatever we wanted or to hold them accountable, how would we use that power and authority? Would we want them to face the true consequences of their actions? Or would we share with them mercy, grace, and forgiveness? Well, we may have a hard time answering that question, especially if we were to find ourselves with that power and authority all of a sudden. But we are invited to see how Christ would answer this question. Jesus, who himself was oppressed while he was among us, was beaten, stripped, and then placed upon a cross to die, thoroughly rejected, abandoned by his friends, who now has all power and authority in heaven and on earth, can now choose to hold humanity accountable exactly as humanity would deserve. How does Christ interact with us? Well, very graciously, or we would not be here. Jesus shares with us a grace and a mercy that is difficult to fathom, but it's what we experience again today in this meal that we share. Here in this bread and wine, we encounter the body and blood of Christ and continue to hear that our sins are forgiven. Though we should be dismayed, knowing how poorly we have treated our brother Christ, instead, we hear these gracious words that Christ says, "Draw near to me, and I will provide for you and all of your family and for this whole world. I want you to know the forgiveness, love, and grace that God would share with you. This is greater than we could even begin to hope for or imagine. In these words of forgiveness and mercy, we encounter the very power of God, and we know what it is. Yes, others may think that such gracious actions, such mercy and forgiveness must mean weakness, but we know the truth, that this is the very power to destroy sin and death in our lives and raise us to eternal life. That we who have experienced the truth of this power at work in our lives are called to go forth and celebrate and share the love we have received, to behave in similar ways. And that when people look at us and think, this must be weakness, this must be people out of their minds, we can say, no, this is the spiritual breaking into your midst. This is the very power of God on display that brings goodness, life, and love to bear against all of the injustices and problems of this world. The light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. And for this good news, for this power of God made manifest among us today in this meal that we share, we can only say in response for God's grace and mercy towards us, hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Amen.